Blog Talk Radio.
The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the host and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with world high stakes golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Hello, I'm January Jones, and I would like to welcome you to our podcast today. Now for my listeners, let me ask you a few questions. Would you like to learn what it is like to be a humorist during a pandemic? Do you wonder what it even takes to become a humorist? Can you imagine what it takes to be an author, recording artist, and actress? Hard to imagine being so talented, isn't it? Have you ever wanted to meet someone who can tell you how to be successful? Now would you like to meet someone who has walked the walk, and now she is going to talk the talk with us today? If you can answer yes or maybe to any questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So now it's time to sit back, relax, go get some wine, get some cheese and crackers, relax as you join me in the No Wine Zone. Now let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. As we all know, COVID has taken a massive physical and mental toll on all aspects of our society. Our mental wealth has been depleted, and now it needs to be replenished. Our guest, who is a former Miss America contestant, she's a best-selling author, and she is a humorist. She believes laughter is essential to reducing stress and helping us to heal both physically and mentally. She is the author of four books, including one named Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops. And she has recorded music CDs, personal growth, and humor DVDs. It is my pleasure today to welcome to our podcast Jane Jenkins Herlong. Hi, Jane.
Hey there, January. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. I've been looking forward to having you on the show, and I've been looking forward to meeting you. Let me ask you, since we started off talking about the pandemic, how has that affected you? How has it affected your life? How has it affected your career? Could you share that with us?
Well, as a humorist who likes to perform live, it's really been tough. I mean, that dog just quit hunting fast. I mean, everybody was saying, oh my gosh, everybody cancel my speaking engagements. And I spoke way too fast, honey, then one day, gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was tough. So professionally, it was quite a hit. But personally, you know, as well as I do, you have to dig deep and mm-hmm. you've got to tell yourself, you know what? If I am going to live my message, I am not going to whine. And I love that, by the way. I'm not going to be a whiner. I'm going to be a winner. And I'm going to get rid of that H and knock it out of my life. And I'm going to make it work. Okay. And so you had to be creative. And I spent time working on my fifth book called A Sweet Tea Secrets from the Deep Fried South, because that's my wheelhouse. Uh-huh. I really think, January, it made me more intentional about who I am and where I want to go. So in that arena, it was positive.
Yeah. You know, the whole pandemic was a big, big pause for the entire world. And especially people for careers, they had to, as you said, sit back, relax, think it over, make plans, readjust. So many of us went on Zoom, FaceTime, and it was for the entire country, it was a major adjustment. Now, I notice you have a little twang and you're writing about the South. So where are you from in the South?
Well, originally I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, and my daddy was a tomato farmer. So I write from the John's Island perspective in the low country, we call it. Uh-huh. And so now today is my anniversary, 42 years.
Oh.
And so I know, I was like, yay, we made it.
But, congratulations.
Yeah, so I had one date. He was my escort when I was in the Miss America system. One date, and he proposed, and I said yes. He believed that. And so then we were married 6 months later, and here we are 42 years later. So
wonderful. Yeah. Where do you
live? A little tiny town called Johnston. It's really small, but that's what love does. It takes you. Here he is. He said, will you marry me? And I said, yes. Where do you live? And he said, in between. I went, no. You know, in the South, we say like, hush. Now, hush means tell me more.
So you're still in South Carolina.
I am in this real sweet little town, real sweet.
Well, I'm looking forward to visiting there soon, because we have a daughter who, she and her husband are living on St. Helena Island.
Yeah.
We have not been there yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that. Tell us a little bit about how your success story began, where you grew up, and some of the people in your childhood, and who influenced you.
I appreciate that, because when my book launched, I got a call from United Talent Agency wanting to know who owned the film rights. So I got a lawyer, and we've been pecking around looking into it. And I started writing a screenplay, and I was actually talking to my mentor today about this three-act screenplay, which is crazy because I don't do this stuff, but I just have the courage to do it and see, you know, what happens. I don't know. But I write about Tootsie, and you can see her picture behind me. Everything's backwards. And she taught me how to make biscuits, which I was an epic failure. But I write a lot about her because she was my second mama, or I call her my other mother. And she came into our lives, and she is of the Gullah community, a woman of great faith. And I know that God had a purpose in my life being in her life. So I'm writing about it from her perspective of taking this little child who was not reared in the best of environments and making a difference in her life. So she was a great influence, and I just believe all things are possible, and I believe in praying hard, and I believe in going with the direction that you feel led to go, and I feel like, you know, finding the best version of yourself. I talk a lot about that whining principle, too. I love that. In my book, Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, I talk about Naomi being barren, and I call her whiny Naomi. I said, don't you know she was middle-aged and going, I am pitiful. Call me bitter, Mara. And so, who wants to hang out with that? Who wants to go on beach trips with that? And that's what I tell people. I said, man, get rid of that thing and try to find positive things in your life. So that's kind of been the theme of my life. And Tootsie was a great influence.
Oh, what a wonderful person to have in your life. Could you share with us a little bit what it was like becoming a Miss America contestant? I bet that must have been a very exciting time in your life.
Well, it started out to be kind of pathetic, really, because I had the biggest lips you've ever seen. I was a tomboy. I hated dresses. And I just stood up and thought I could be picked out to be in Little Miss Merry Christmas. And the little diva next to me with the stick out dress and the poodle socks and the Easter shoes got picked and she had her teeth. I tell everybody her mama put those pink spongy rollers in her hair the night before. And as we say in the South, her hair was jacked up to Jesus. And so, you know, the stick out dress. So I just got determined that I was going to, and I went to the little pageant, you know, and I saw the child walk across the stage in the stick out dress. But I just got determined that I was going to try to be what I wasn't, but wanted to become. And really, January, so many people look at Miss America and go, oh, exploitation of women. No, it teaches communication. It teaches a sense of style and grace. It teaches talent. And it teaches incredible ways to take care of your body, which is fitness, physical fitness. Now, I tell you, I rest my case. What is success principles in this country? Communication, taking care of your body, having a sense of style, and giving back. Hello. That is a good speech. I don't want to say it myself.
Well, that is a good speech. And, you know, also I'll throw into that that there's a wonderful opportunity for scholarships that go along with all of the beauty pageants. And that is an incredible thing for young women to be able to take advantage of.
Very true. I went to graduate school on my money.
Right now we're going to take advantage of hearing about my book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Nice. Very, very nice.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone, and I'm visiting with my guest, Jane Jenkins Herlong. And she is definitely not a whiner. She is a true, true winner. Jane, before we go on, because I want to hear about what it was like growing up on a vegetable farm, but could you share with our listeners your contact information and how they can reach you, your website, and where your books are? And this information we'll put on the chat side, and it'll go underneath the screen. So that can our listeners can write it down and get that information from you, Jane.
Thank you. That's so sweet. My website is janeherlong.com, H-E-R-L-O-N-G. Would love for people to sign up for my YouTube channel, Jane Jenkins Herlong. And Jane at janeherlong.com is a great way to email me or whatever. I love to speak as you do. And I love to share my book with folks. And so the book actually is, again, on Amazon, but it is in where most books are sold. It can be purchased at Walmart, Target, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and smaller stores as well. I was last week, I was at the Christian Products Expo with Tyndale, who's my publisher. And, man, did I learn about books. Great day. I thought I knew, but I don't know. But I had other publishers that were there, and I told somebody, and I just felt like a woman of the night. I have so many interested people that had published me in the past. Not a good place to talk about that. But anyway, it was too funny, you know, with Kindle, and I've been with Hachette, and then Iron Stream Publishing is a good. But, you know, all these books, as you know, one leads to another and more experience. And you just, you know, you're just happy to share your message. And like you, January, I'm passionate to make people laugh, to make people think, and to help them go to that next level of trying to be the best version of them. And you are so right about this whining epidemic. Good gosh. I mean, if I were you, I'd do a notebook to accompany that, a workbook, and I'd say, write down as soon as you get up in the morning. I'd make people make notes. And what do you want about today? What you need to fix?
Yeah, you know? Well, my book has all the answers and all the suggestions, and I hope, and also I'm really excited to announce that I just found out that Thou Shalt Not Whine has been accepted by Audible.com, and
it
has been recorded, and it will probably be released within the next 10 days, and I'll have my narrator on the show and interview her when that happens. You know, I've been to a lot of book expos in my time. I started my first book when I was 50 years old. So I had a lot to learn, like you, like everyone. And when you go to the book expo, it is like taking a short course, a master's course in books and book selling. And then the real work begins, because once the book is done, then you're talking about book promotion. And that's a whole other animal. And that takes years to master that.
Years. Yeah. And I'm very grateful that Tyndale is able to share my book. I just got picked up at Cracker Barrel Restaurants.
It will be in the
spring of 2023. And so I told them, I said, I'll go to every single Cracker Barrel in the country and sit there and tell them to buy my book. See, that's what I learned. If you want to take away from here from anybody who is a book person, put skin in this game. Skin in the game. And I had all these reps from all over that push out the Tyndale quality books. They great little books. But they said that they thank you for being here and hanging out at our table. And thank you so much for, I would just pull people in and I'd say, you see this book? Y'all need this book right here. Put this in your library. Put this in your bookstore. And I was all over it. And they were going, you know, and I said, honey, this is what I do, because this is a speaking engagement right here.
Absolutely. You know? Now tell me, truthfully, when did you discover what you wanted to do with your life? When did you discover you wanted to be a humorist? And did that lead to becoming an author? How did it play out for you, Jane?
Well, you know, one door leads to another, to a closed door, to an open window, to a broken window. I mean, you just keep trying to break that glass ceiling, in my opinion. And you try and you think, let me see, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. Mm-hmm. And I'm a singer too. And all of a sudden I'm writing music, which is fine. I like that. It's not like it's going to be a number one hit on Billboard charts or whatever, but just little songs. So you just keep trying and trying to do different things and to see what sticks. But people tell you, like, they'll say, oh my gosh, that was so funny. And you go, it was, you know, you should tell that story. I should. So I went and I started speaking in schools after my Miss America year as Miss South Carolina. I was in schools. And then all of a sudden, I started doing corporate events because it pays more. It's better. And then I started getting picked up by different associations. And, you know, you got to spend money to make money. There's no question. This is a noisy world we live in with books, speaking, singing, the whole deal. And I decided, you know what? I got to up my game if I want to be in it to win it. And so that's what I've been doing. I was just on the phone with my marketing guy, who's wonderful. And, you know, he's done bar and he just tells me the truth. And that's something you've got to realize. If you want to get to the next level, you got to hear the truth as hard as it is. Like, your website is not good, Jane. It needs to be improved. So we improved it. I don't want somebody to fluff me up, January. I want them to hit me hard. How am I going to grow? How am I going to grow?
That is so true, because it's not until you find out what you're doing wrong that you will learn what to do right. And it's a long process, and there's no such thing as overnight success. You know, you hear that word, and you and I both know that's not true. It's a long haul. But the truth is, once you find something that you truly love and enjoy doing, then guess what? It's no longer work. And so your work becomes your pleasure. And I think that's the secret for a lot of people who put themselves out front. So did you start first? What did you start doing first? Stand up, comedy, writing? How did it, what was the progression for your success story?
It was when I was traveling and representing the Miss America program, it was, you're going to speak whether you like it or not. And I liked it. I just loved it. I felt like, you know, I can give some value, but I was young. So I had to realize, where's my value? Well, why can't I speak to schools? I have a wonderful brother, but he's got a bad problem, and he has been struggling with drug addiction. So why can't I tell kids, you know what, stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
And this is what it'll do to your life. So that was where you kind of have to start, where you know you have a message. And then that just grew. And as I would sing in churches, and then all of a sudden I was doing schools and churches, and then the corporate stuff. And then the people were telling me, you're funny. And then my friend Larry Winget said, if you got a book, you got a speech. If you got a speech, you got a book. So I wrote my first little book called Bare Feet to High Heels, and it's all about pageants. And the subtitle is, you don't have to be a beauty queen to be a beautiful person. So that was the first book. And I just had it back of the room sales, no big deal. And then that led to a book. My sister had breast cancer, so I wrote a book called What Tatas Teach Us.
I love all of your titles. They're great.
So that's kind of how it started. So all of a sudden, I'm doing more comedy. And Jeannie Robertson was a very good friend and a very wonderful individual. She's all over YouTube. She passed away, sadly. But she was a great influence. And so I was just very encouraged by her encouragement. And so I just combined humor, Southern stories. I tell a lot of Southern stories with the music. And I feel like, as you do, January, I'm not giving all of me if I don't tell the story and have some takeaway. Ha, 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 that was funny. Do you remember the point? Yes. It's because the stories have a takeaway. That's the difference in comedians and humorists. I'm on Sirius XM Radio on their comedy channel, and I love that. Because there is a takeaway after every story as I continue to tell the story as a Southern humorist. So if that makes sense, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. Well, what a wonderful platform to launch a career being Miss South Carolina. And having that. How old were you when you entered that pageant?
I was 23 years old. And I was, you know, because, I mean, there is an expiration date on pageant girls, let me just tell you.
Expiration date on everything.
So you had to ride that wave when it approaches.
Sure.
So I started out younger. My peer group in high school would vote me into different things, and it just gave me a little confidence. And then the scholarship, as you said, I was able to go to graduate school, and that was a huge gift. Because Daddy struggled farming. He was a vegetable farmer. He didn't finish the 10th grade. So I started picking tomatoes, helping him help me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a great story, and what a wonderful beginning. You know, right now, we're going to hear a little bit about my conspiracy theory. Who killed Kennedy? Who do you think had the motive, the money, and the means to commit the perfect crime of the last century?
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Are you still wondering who killed Kennedy? Over 50 years later, the assassination is still a mystery. It is unfinished business for our country. Now, get ready for a theory that you've never heard before, but will make more sense than any other conspiracy theory that you've ever heard in the past. January Jones speaks the unspeakable in her book, Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle, connecting Jackie and Aristotle Onassis romantically prior to JFK's assassination. Did you know that Ari was Jackie's guest in the White House during the JFK funeral? He was the only non-family member who was invited by Jackie to stay there during the funeral. Aristotle Onassis was one of the wealthiest men in the world, with the means, the motive, and the money to order an assassination that was the perfect crime of the last century. Ari needed class, and Jackie needed cash. They were perfect for each other. Now, what is Camelot? It is but another tragic love triangle. Jackie, Ari, and Jack is available at JanuaryJones.com, Amazon.com, and Audiobooks.com, read by Ms. Jones.
Welcome back to our podcast, January Jones, sharing success stories with a true success story here today, Jane Jenkins Herlock. Now, Jane, what do you attribute your success to?
Well, I believe in the Word of God, to be honest, and I I pray, I read the scriptures, and I believe those scriptures many times, especially in Proverbs, have success principles about so as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, what does that mean? Just like Zig Ziglar said, whether you think you can or you can't, you're going to be right. So I think there's so many good principles, the sowing of the seed. I have a speech called Don't Throw Tomatoes at My Field of Dreams, all things that my daddy taught me about agriculture. Well, what we sow, we're going to reap. Consequences are tough, and a lot of times, you know, we can choose correctly. As you said, you don't whine, but the consequences of whining can be pretty bad. Yeah. And so there's so many biblical principles in there that I really love. The biblical principles of the sowing and the reaping.
You know, I was perusing your biography, and there was something in it about you growing up with dyslexia. And yeah. I think this is something that we hadn't heard about when we were growing up. And now I hear about it quite often. Could you share your experience with dyslexia and how it affected your schooling?
Well, it was very difficult. Mom and daddy had the wherewithal and the wisdom to put me in the C-section, which is not a procedure to have a child. Uh-huh. It is the bless your heart, you know, this child's got something wrong with or she's just not learning. And that was my problem. I think I was actually more ADD than anything. And so it was tough and I had to learn how to learn. And there were no resources. There was no medication. I would drink coffee and that would help me get focused. You know, I didn't know that. I was a big and still am. But I would have to sit in the front of the class with a tape recorder and I would have to record every single lecture from high school to college. And I was a very poor tester. I made horrible grades on my SAT, my PSATs, and I couldn't get into college. But I just kept trying and trying to convince the guy, the admissions counselor at the small Methodist college, I can do this. He let me in. And sure enough, I was able to be on the dean's list and went on to graduate school.
Wow.
But I had to learn how to learn. It was very difficult because the classroom was not set up for that kind of learning. My brother is severely ADHD, and I had a cousin. You're going to die when I tell you this. my cousin actually tied him in his seat with a jump rope. First grade. Boy, you'd be on the news, and you would be banned from teaching forever if this was in today's world.
Oh, but, for sure.
So, yeah, and then my brother, that's why he has a problem because he's self-medicated because it helped him focus. And so I remember when our son was born and he's ADHD and I took him to the, and he was diagnosed for sure, you know, it's not just throwing a pill, making him hush. But one question that was asked to me, is there anyone in your family that is self-medicated? And I thought of my brother and the struggle he had. And I thought, give me the drugs to give my baby boy to help him think.
How did that work out?
It worked out fine until he got to be about, he's very funny and very fun, but that just sort of snuffed his personality. So he struggled. He just finished college and he's 33. So he's, you know, searching for employment. He's very smart, but you just got to love him and pray for him and just ask for wisdom. Not all children are going to be like my daughter, who is like really on point. And I told somebody I must have a drywall in my womb because I got one this way and I got the other one this way. But you just have to have a balance about it. And like you said, you can't whine. Just try to find solutions. And I really prayed about it. And I really felt in my heart the Lord was saying to me, quit writing his case. You're going to lose your relationship. Now that's good info right there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, I mentioned earlier your 5 books, and I'm just so impressed with the titles for your books. The titles for your book could actually be a stand-up comedy routine. Why don't you, for our listeners, give us the titles and tell us the story behind each title?
Well, the first one that I mentioned, Bare Feet to High Heels, you don't have to be a beauty queen to be a beautiful person. I just make fun of beauty pageants because there's a whole lot there. And I can do that because I'm one of them, you know, or, you know, was active in that at one time. The next one was getting a little bit older. I can see it's every stage of my life, really. Getting a little bit older, you start paying attention to your health. And my sister had breast cancer. She survived it, but I was very impressed with her attitude. But I was not impressed with the fact she quit having mammograms. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, that was not smart. So Don't skip those puppies. That's very important. So that stage of my life, I experienced, you know, preventative, you know, having mammograms helps you understand you can nip it in the bud, you know, nip it in the bud. That's what you want to do. And so then the next was about my mother. We were very close, and it's called Bury Me With My Pearls. And my mother told me that, Bury Me With My Pearls.
Uh-huh.
And so it's about seed pearls, small decisions, dark pearls, which is the wine pearl.
Uh-huh.
And you should be able to wear that pearl, but the pearl does not need to wear you.
Okay.
You know, when you go through dark times, you should say, yay, look at my dark pearl. I'm going to wear this. Everybody should have a dark pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And then the irregular pearls are the things that happen that we have to find the comedy in the humor.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I came up with that. And then that really introduced me to the world of books. And I got very interested. And then Hachette picked me up with Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, which is actually, ironically, it is a Bible study. And a lot of people, I'm trying to fix my hair. It's driving me crazy. backwards. I'm all backwards. There you go. So Rhinestones on My Flip-Flops, I take biblical women in their flip-flops. Mm-hmm. And how can we learn to sparkle and shine like deceived Eve? What young woman doesn't think everybody else is better than me on Facebook and Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I need to be stupid and go out and have a drink with the guys after work, because they make dumb decisions like Eve. She left her paradise.
Yeah.
And she didn't see her paradise until she was out of it. So that was that book. And then this one, I started seeing all the people moving into our area, and we need to hold on to some of our traditions. And it just really, everybody has their story about loving their family, traditions and things. So I write about it from that perspective, and it's very funny. It got so funny. And so that's what I love to do, is the humor.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I really enjoyed writing Thou Shalt Not Wine, because it was an opportunity to explore humor about so many stages of life, because our book covers every stage of life and every wine there is.
Yes.
What kind of a writer are you? I'm curious. Do you write at night? Do you get up in the morning? Or how do you produce a book?
Well, I think you look at what other people are doing, but you don't copy, you emulate. So I heard a book on tape by a woman named Susanna Lewis, who wrote Woe Susanna. And I thought it was so smart. And I thought, wait a minute, I can do that from my perspective in the low country of South Carolina as a Charlestonian. And I write about the little snooty patooties, you know, the little snobby chicks, nobody likes them. And then, so that's big deal with Charleston, you know, kind of the snobs. And so I started thinking about what else, like, so I write about Southern churches and how the cover dish is like, oh, you've got to get your food on the main table or they'll put you in the back, you know. And so I write about funny stuff and why Aunt Benny had a dead chicken on her ceiling. And my favorite, you'll love this, my favorite, I'm so glad they left it in, because this is Christian publishing, is when your ovaries go south. And it's about me going to my gynecologist. And he said, you have a growth in your ovary. We don't know what it is. I said, well, I do. And he said, you do? I said, yes, I do. He said, what is it? I said, a testicle. I have grown a testicle. And if you get in there and say, oh, look, it's a testicle, you put it right back, because I'm proud of that thing. In other words, I had to grow up. I had to grow up and get tough and not be mean tough. But I had to learn to handle things, not to whine. It all goes back to what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Now, do you have a special place in the house where you write? Do you need to be in solitude? Or? And I was also curious, are you a morning, nighttime writer?
I like mornings. That's when my brain is churning. And then at late night, it's like at 2 o'clock, I go, all right, give me some caffeine. So here, I got my medicine. So, I like to write. How about you? When do you write?
I like to write at night, and I like it because the universe, everything is quiet, and you feel so much positive energy flowing in and out. And sometimes if you just get there and just start writing, you know, don't worry about punctuation, editing, don't worry about any of that. So much will just flow through you. That you're not even, sometimes I would write most of the night, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd go to read what I had written, and I would be just stunned because I would think, who wrote this? Well, obviously, I had been getting help with some of these things. And I think that for me, the nighttime was magical for my writing experience.
And you definitely have to know what time of day works best for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but I have to step away and maybe take a walk around our farm and just kind of reboot and yeah. think, oh, wait a minute, I could use that because I'm writing this screenplay. And yeah. I definitely need to walk around and reboot on that one. That's a new adventure, but why not? You know, who knows? It could. I just saw the movie where the crawdads sing. It's brilliant. And I read the book and I loved it. And so any of that culture, Southern culture, people are fascinated with. And I'm going into the Gullah culture, which is very fascinating. And so, you know, you just kind of write from your place and as experiences unfold. And I'm like, I don't know about you, but I make notes like, oh, that would be a good story on my phone. And then, you know, I pull it back up and I write a lot. See, if good writers write, good speakers speak, good singers sing. So yeah. that's what you do. You keep doing it over and over and over again.
And, you know, I've always told so many women who've asked me about writing or doing anything that basically if you think it, then you can do it. And right now I'm going to share some priceless personalities who have been on my show through the years. Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have struggled to find solutions? People who fearlessly shared their stories? People who have not only informed you, but inspired you? People who have priceless personalities? I have been fortunate to host an internet radio talk show called January Jones Sharing Success Stories, and it has been my privilege to interview hundreds of guests. My guests have shared their stories, their struggles, their secrets, and their successes in their own words. In this book, we're talking about people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, runaway kids, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, and starting over. Then there are my guests dealing with difficult physical struggles such as blindness, cancer, and birth defects that are beyond traumatic. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They have amazed, amused, and even astonished me. I have adored getting to meet them, and I adore sharing them with you.
Attention all listeners, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, Volume 2 is now available at Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle editions. You'll be able to meet 10 amazing people who will be sharing their own personal stories with all their struggles, successes, and solutions sprinkled with lots of humor and hope. Priceless Personalities features a teenager who becomes one of the famous Supremes from Motown, a nurse who as a humorist helps people to heal, an inspiring laughter yoga instructor, a mother dealing with the loss of a child, an incredible motivational speaker, a woman who married 5 times, a gifted paranormal nurse, a wise economist, a funny female humorist, along with an older man sharing his sweet childhood in the Deep South. January's guests are all amazing and amusing. You will never forget meeting them. Go to Amazon.com for your own priceless experience.
Hey, is Karen Buxman on there?
Yes.
Yeah, I love her. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, she's the best, yeah.
Oh, we're good friends.
You know, I just had her on the show, so you'll have to go to the YouTube channel.
Oh.
She was awesome.
I love her.
I do too. It was so great having, she's always been on my shows through the years, but it was fun to get her on the TV podcast finally. She's so
cute. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My listeners, we're here visiting with Jane Jenkins Herlog, who is truly another priceless personality. And when I do another book, Jane, I'll try to find a chapter where I can put you in. I want to hear, how did you meet your husband? Because you mentioned that earlier in the show.
Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. I'm telling you. So I was asked to get judges for the Miss Charleston pageant. I was Miss Charleston.
Okay.
So I heard about this guy that was a farmer that lived in the upper part of the state, blah, blah. So I called him, and I didn't realize how left-brained the man was. And I just said, what have you been doing? Because I was beauty queen. I had to be very serious. And he said, and I quote, artificially inseminating my beef cattle.
Okay.
Oh, that's special. How weird is that?
That's a great opening line.
And there's nothing you can say after that. Like, oh, great. What do you do afterwards? Smoke a cigarette? I probably shouldn't have said that. But I mean, you go, what? And so then when I was Miss South Carolina after Miss America, and my business manager called me and said, Thomas Herlong said that you could sit by him. And I said, did you tell him I'm in a relationship? And I was dating a guy who was an astronaut. He was amazing. And she said, well, he's in a relationship too. And I said, yeah, with his cows, right? So she said, no, he's dating the girl that beat you, Miss America. I said, shut your mouth, Rita.
Oh,
so we had one date and we had both prayed that God would show us the right person. And I didn't even see him all the next week. And he met me at the airport in Columbia. And I just felt like he was going to propose and take me to the nicest restaurant in the world to eat. And he did not take me to the nicest restaurant, but he did propose. But he took me to a restaurant called The Lizard's Thicket. It's like the Waffle House with vegetables. I'm thinking, are you serious? So, and then, of course, I told you my question was, where do you live?
So,
that was 42 years ago today, our wedding. And so it's been a good one. Somebody asked me, what's the secret? And I say, just shut your mouth. If you want to really know your secret, don't whine. Just shut
your mouth. For him or for you? Who has to shut their mouth?
Both of us. Both of us. I mean, me especially. Yeah. But I just think, I'm not going there. I don't have the energy. You know, when you get older, happy hour is a nap. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to bed mad. I'll just roll over and say, I'm sorry. Good night.
Well,
I just don't take issue. My daughter, oh my gosh, I just could write a book about that one. I mean, everything. I said, Carol, let that go, baby. Just let that go.
Be careful if you're writing about your kids. That I can tell you. I'm 10 years behind you. We're celebrating in October our 52nd wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
So
yay.
Thank you. And I'm just so happy for you. It's so nice to have people on the show and to meet people who have had good marriages, because we hear all about, you know, the divorce rate and everything going on. And there are people who have done it and there are people who will continue to do it. And you're one of those. You know, curiously, when you look back on your fabulous life and career and wonderful marriage, do you have any regrets or do you have any things you wished you could do over or do differently?
I probably would challenge myself to make mistakes sooner. Mistakes are the best teacher, you know, I think. You can either let them motivate you or paralyze you. And so I would probably have done a little bit different in my career. And, you know, it hasn't all been easy peasy too.
Yeah.
I met a 92-year-old woman in Arkansas. I was on a speaking engagement, and I said, what's the secret? She said, my favorite scripture. I said, what's that? She said, and it came to pass. She said, things will happen and things will pass. And that's very wise.
Yeah,
so I think how you handle yourself during times, like in the Bible says, we see dimly, but one day we will see in full what we see in part.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had some big time family issues. It's in my book about Bury Me With My Pearls. I don't make it sad, but I do touch on it. But handling those trials and tribulations are extremely important for your mental health and mental wealth, as you mentioned. There's a good analogy there.
Now, when you think about your life, who do you admire most and who is your hero that you look up to in life?
It's funny you mentioned that. I have several heroes. I have both male heroes. I have friends of mine. Probably my favorite person is Nito Cubain. He's a gentleman. He's the president of High Point University. What a story. Mm-hmm. And we just left our speaker conference, and I did not get to chat with this individual, but her name is Maggie Cook. She is amazing. She was born in an orphanage in Mexico. And she has turned her whole life around. She made salsa. She's very wealthy, but she gives back to the orphanages and gets kids out of sex trafficking. And she's just an amazing, you know, I just happened to meet her boarding the plane.
Yeah.
And she told me she was homeless, and I felt sorry for her. And she boarded first class, and I was in the back by the bathroom. So that's been a real jewel. And I'm in the Speaker Hall of Fame with my peers. Every one of them, I'm just all with. I just go, I can't believe you can do all that. The brilliant minds that are writers and speakers and trainers and humorists. And so I am so fortunate to be in that group to surround myself with excellence. So I admire all of them. I kind of cherry pick my heroes.
Okay. Now, we don't have much time, but if you could have dinner with anyone living or dead besides me, who would you choose?
Lucille Ball.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I loved her. I would watch her. Tootsie and I would watch every day at 10 o'clock, and I would love to sit down with her. Her comedy was cutting edge, first one to do really a sitcom, brilliant mind, and incredible humor. That's who I'd want to talk with.
Oh, yeah. She was magnificent redhead, and we all grew up loving her. I can remember when basically the whole world stopped when she gave birth to her baby on TV, which was a monumental thing because it had never been done. And she and Desi had to sleep in twin beds. So you wonder where that baby came from.
Yeah. I mean, Monday night shopping was a brand new thing in Chicago, and they shut it down because Monday nights, everybody was watching I Love Lucy.
Oh, yeah. That's what we all did. It was a wonderful time. Jane, I want to thank you so much for coming on my podcast. It's been joy to get to meet you, and wonderful to be able to share you with our listening.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, dear. Now, my dear listeners, I hope you've enjoyed our time together. We have tried to be informative, and Jane has been very inspiring today. And she's given us so many tips on how to be successful and shared so much of her life with us. My upcoming guests will all be eclectic, exciting, and energizing, just like Jane. Next Tuesday, live at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Shauna Bronner will be visiting with us, and she will be visiting from Germany. So we're going to have a little time change there, but I can't wait to hear from her. Be sure to sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, and all of my books and audios are available at Amazon. Now, my 79, I've turned 79 since my last show. My last show, my 78-year-old thought for the day. My 79-year-old thought is being a senior is mostly learning how to Google and then mostly calling your grandkids so they can help you. So for now, I would like to thank you for entering the No Wine Zone, and please share our stories with our show and with everyone you know. And remember, you have to stop whining and you need to start smiling. And if that doesn't work, then you can start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Now everyone take care and stay safe until we meet again.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.